It's time to talk about the outdoors in South Alabama. Hunting, fishing, and getting outside along the Great Gulf Coast. It's time to take it outside with FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. With reports, stories, how-to information, and Dr. Bill's Marine Forecast. Here's Sean Sullivan and Mike Ward.
And I really can't believe we're not offshore right now fishing, but we'll go ahead and come do this show.
It's a shame. We get beautiful days like this and we can't get out. We have to work.
Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Sean. How you doing?
I'm good. This is FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Sean Sullivan, Mike Ward. Glad to have you along with us today. A lot to do on the show. I want to start off with, obviously we're dealing with some pretty heavy seas out there. So first weekend of snapper season, it was rough.
Yep.
And I had a boat down, so I didn't go.
Yeah.
Last weekend, I went one real trip, okay, and went fast, caught some fish.
You didn't go the first weekend.
Right.
The second weekend.
I went last weekend.
Okay.
On Sunday, really. I did a little, couldn't get out on Friday. Work thing gets me. Saturday, we had some, wanted to go test a new boat, so did a drive around, did a quick just drop and just see how the boat performed.
Now tell me about the new boat. I haven't heard about the new boat.
We'll talk about that. It's new to me. I've only had one new boat in my whole life.
You holding out on me. Here I am doing a show. I don't even know nothing about a new boat.
Well, it's new to me.
How big a boat?
It's 20. Well, it's a 25. That's as you measure it, probably a 26 with the bow pulpit.
Awesome.
So, going back, Cuddy Cabin. It's got a cutting.
300-400s on it or something?
See, this is why I don't talk to you. Because you do this and you bring me down. No, it has two OX66 150s on it.
Oh.
See?
Oh.
Yeah, see, this is why I don't talk to you. I don't talk to you. We can talk about
something. We got to talk more about it. I have no idea, folks, that I just came in and he just told me about a new boat.
I have no idea. 20 years old.
Yeah.
Just getting broken in. So.
Yeah.
We don't talk about this though, because I haven't had time to shuffle the other boats out for sale. And
if Mama don't know
yes,
yet.
Exactly right.
Okay.
You are correct, sir.
Yeah.
So thanks for ruining that. I was going
to
make it a big surprise.
You anyway.
That is true. Not literally or figuratively.
Yeah.
She listened to me, so we're good. All right, so we can talk about that stuff. And I want to talk about last weekend. You were on assignment. We'll talk about that. And I had Forrest Phillips from the Alabama Skin Divers Supply up in Birmingham, the great white guy, but we talked in depth. You wouldn't have liked it at all because we talked about scuba diving and snorkeling and spear fishing and getting in the water with those fish, and that's not your thing.
Nope. Not my thing at all. No.
You might have to get in the water
I've
to undo leader.
There. And he has too, and he still goes.
Yes, he does.
Yeah.
So if y'all didn't catch that show, if you're like me, not like Mike, and have some interest in doing a little spear fishing, those kind of things, we did an in-depth dive into a discussion of scuba diving, spear fishing, snorkeling, spear fishing, all that. So,
yeah. I mean, I really don't know of anybody, period, Sean, that has ever seen two great whites in the Gulf.
Yep. This guy has
seen them underwater and with them.
And still goes.
So I don't know.
Have you ever seen, just a side note on that, have you ever seen a white shark in the Gulf?
I have never.
Nor have I.
I have never seen a great white shark in the Gulf.
And
so that's what I'm saying. He's seen two. That's really, really very rare.
Well, and it's also a better chance of seeing them underwater. You know what I'm saying? You don't see them down there. So I was have a better chance to see them underwater than you do up top, because we talked to a couple of marine biologists, too, and say by the time you get shallow or up, our water around here this time of year is too hot for a great white. They don't like the hotter water.
Yeah, it's usually the earlier in the year that you see them,
Or they say deep, and those of you that dive like me know, you get down there, you get a thermocline, and it's water's cooler away from the surface. So probably a better chance of seeing them down there. But it was never, it was probably 10 years ago, maybe 12 years ago, that I started hearing people talking about white sharks. Growing up, I never think they would come here.
Yeah, me either. I mean, I'm like you. I have heard some people talk about seeing them out there, but I've never seen one.
But the difference is, too, that maybe there's more of them through, and we can look at those apps where they track them and all that. More of them come into the Gulf, and we could guess, there might be just guesses of why. But also, there are more cameras out there than ever. Cell phone cameras, GoPro for scuba diving, underwater cameras. There's more ways.
somebody could have seen people. Period.
Yeah, people could have seen it back then.
Said something. Yeah.
And in amongst their friends and their kinfolk, they would have heard the story, but nobody else would have.
Well,
now you
that.
Put it up, it's a video, it goes, you know, goes viral, you know.
Not only that, they'd have said that and they said, oh no, that was probably a big Mako or something you saw. You know, the big 600 or 700 pound Makos, that's probably what you saw.
Now you've got video documentation, you go, nope, that's actually a white shark.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Things have changed.
You know, and wondered about the numbers of sharks that are. It seems like some will argue that the longliners didn't have the effect. I don't know, because he doesn't believe the, you know, some of the scientists I've talked to believe the longliners didn't have as much effect as I did. But it seems like with the longlining being diminished in the Gulf, the shark numbers came back.
Oh, they are flourishing in the Gulf of Mexico. Big time.
Problem is, though, the scientists will say, too, I think what they worry about is there some species that are flourishing. We can all agree. I mean, you've dealt with them if you're tuna fishing or fishing snapper or whatever. We all agree with that. But the problem is there are other species of sharks that aren't.
I don't know what species those are. That's a problem. Yeah.
There are certain species that have issue, and I think what they're scared of is all of us that can't ID these sharks as well going out and piling on to the wrong ones.
Yeah, well, and that's a possibility, yeah, because a lot of people can't identify you know, all the sharks, and I'm not going to tell you that I can.
I think they fall into, with me, they fall into the couple categories. The black tip category, bull shark category, and hammerheads.
Yeah.
I mean,
and tiger sharks. I mean, we can all identify all those.
And Makos.
Yeah, and Makos, yeah.
But tiger sharks and Makos, I've never seen with my own eyes. Never seen either with my own eyes.
Really?
Not in person.
No, I've seen
Plenty of hammerheads, bulls, and black tips.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I've seen quite a few tiger sharks, fair amount.
I guess I've seen them as they used to come in at the rodeo.
Yeah.
You know, but I've never been on the water or been, you know, in the water with them, you know, where I've said, I mean, I've seen them on land as they got brought into the rodeo.
Yeah.
That's the closest I've ever been to them.
Yeah, I've seen them, and I've caught a couple of Makos. Out there.
And when you find Makos, are they, where are you finding them? Deep?
Well, fishing around rigs in, I guess, actually both of these, I caught them probably in 300 foot of water, close to 300 foot of water, 200 something, 300 foot of water, yeah.
Makos, at least I hear the description of watch videos, seem to be more fun than other sharks to catch. Don't they jump some?
Oh, yeah. They'll zing the line out and they'll jump.
So there's
jump
some sport to it.
Oh, yeah. There's some sport to it. Yeah.
It's not just a crank on the bent rod.
No. I caught one time with king macrofishing and I thought it was a king. I mean, it sings the line out just like a king. I mean, just smoking it. And then we're thinking, well, maybe it's a wahoo. And then it jumps out there and it jumps kind of close to a friend of mine, but it's way out for me. And I thought it was a king jumping, you know.
And he said, Mako.
Man, that's a big, he called me on radio, that's a Mako. That's a dead jump.
So there's some, yeah, and that's, it's funny because people from out of our area, well, it's interesting, and we're going to talk about some guys from Utah, I know, but when they want to come hunt or fish, the things they're focused on, they want to hunt hogs.
Yeah.
And they're like, why aren't you hunting hogs? I said, I don't know. I mean, if we have to kill them or trap them or something, but I like, you know, turkeys and deer and, you know, ducks. And then they want to come, oh, we want to come fishing. Great, y'all, snapper season starts so-and-so. They said, well, when can we catch sharks? I'm like, why do you want to go catch sharks?
Well, that's like kids, you know.
But people from
out of
state, that's what they think. If they want to come hunt with me, they want to come hunt hogs. If they want to fish with me, they want to fish sharks. I'm like, how about we deer hunt and we snapper fish? But they're like, no, let's do the...
But kids are that way.
Yeah.
I mean, they're all, you know, all kids grow up wanting to catch sharks. I mean, that's just intrigued with sharks, you know.
Oh, and I think they're neat.
And once they catch one or two and see a few of them, it's like, okay, let's go back snapper fishing.
Right. Maybe that's what I need to do is bring all these people in and just put them on a day-long shark catching.
Yeah.
And they'll be so sick of it, they won't ask for it.
You know, things have changed a lot in the Gulf, Sean. Years ago, back, oh, golly, in the 70s, I was going out fishing, and the main fish that I would go after would be ling, because ling were pretty easy to catch compared to if you didn't have a depricorder or you didn't have Loran. Back then there wasn't a Loran,
but you could see the structure of ling would be on.
I could see the shrimp boats, and back then
shrimp boats, ships, buoys.
Yeah, there were just fleets and fleets and fleets of shrimp boats back in that day. I'm talking about you could just go out 20 miles, and there would just be. you know, 10, 15 shrimp boats that you're looking at, and you just go from one shrimp boat to another early in the morning when they're dumping.
You don't see that anymore.
You don't see nothing like that anymore. But used to, you could just go shrimp boat, shrimp boat, shrimp boat, and there would just be monster sharks. Mm-hmm. I mean, behind every one of them. And that's when I would see a lot of tiger sharks.
Behind the shrimp boats.
Big bulls, big tigers. I mean, but there was just lots of them. You'd see them all the time. You know, I can't tell you how many I've seen. I mean, I've seen a bunch, I can tell you that. But you don't see that anymore.
Even though there's more sharks.
Yeah, there's more sharks, but you just don't see. Well, you don't have the shrimp boats out there.
Right, we don't have that. So they're probably spread out a little more evenly through the Gulf instead of, you know, having that. I mean, if you went out there today and had that number of shrimp boats and doing bycatch over the side for a whole night, you'd probably, you know, do that for a week or two. You'd have sharks back behind.
Probably so. Yeah, I would think you would.
The feed trough,
would
get them.
It's easy food for them, And also the ling. Oh, we used to just kill the ling.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, kill the ling. We'd just catch boatload of them, you know. And here's another thing about the ling real quick before we have to go to a break. You know, back in the day, I'm telling you, I'd fill the boat up. I'd have two big 150-something quart igloos, which was the biggest thing out there at the time. I'd fill them up, and I wouldn't have any more room to put them, but I could go fill them up easy. But I only caught, out of all the ling I caught, and I caught, I'm telling you, thousands of them, I only caught one over 50 pounds.
Really?
And a friend of mine that bass fished with me back in the day went fishing with me, first time he'd ever even been out in the Gulf, and he caught a 50-pound ling, and I'm saying, golly, out of all the people, you know, to caught a monster ling,
it's
somebody that's never even been out in the Gulf before
with me,
you know, and he caught a 50-pound ling. And but now a 50-pound ling is kind of just a nice ling, you know what I mean?
Yep.
I was in Louisiana this past weekend, king mackerel fishing. We'll talk about that in a minute, but had a boy from Biloxi that was at the restaurant over there in Fouchon, and he stopped me and asked me about the fishing, how my fishing was. He'd caught a 100-pound ling that day.
A 100-pound ling?
100-pound ling.
On a real scale, 100-pound?
Well, he's guessing it, but he's fishing a tournament, and he's got a 70-something and an 80-something already in the tournament in Biloxi. And he says, this one's 100 pounds. I said, well, he looks like 100 pounds to me.
Wow. All right. Coming right back. More of FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Yeah, Mike's going to talk about last weekend and fishing and how the seas were in that.
Yeah. All
right. Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Sean Sullivan, Mike Ward. Glad to have you all along. Remember, FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors on Facebook. One of the places you can get Captain Bobby's FM Talk 106.5 Fishing Report, plus updates, pictures, and we love y'all's pictures. I was talking to Dalton and Leanna, a new part of our family here. Leanna joined the crew, works on some of our social media, and we're talking on Thursday about some promotions coming your way for the FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors Facebook page, some kind of giveaway, and I'm going to lean on my buddy Mike here, too. We're going to try to put something together, like a grand prize. Plus, we have the FM Talk 106.5 Fishing Team shirts.
You're going to put me in there as the grand prize?
Well, that's what we said. Mike Ward comes to your house as the prize, but I want to get your help on this. We're going to put some things together.
Sounds like a nightmare.
This is good, man, because I got stuff I need fixed, so come on over. And we're going to get y'all to send us in some pictures. We put plenty of our pictures on the Facebook page, but I want y'all's pictures as well. But we'll talk about that coming up in the next couple weeks. All right, speaking of pictures and video, we'll link through some video from you, because you had a big weekend. That tournament was the Kingmaster?
That's Kingmaster out of Biloxi.
Okay, so explain to folks what was going on that Kingmaster tournament out of Biloxi.
Yeah, well, that's...
Is it SKA or is it a...
No, it's not SKA tournament. It's just a Kingmaster. It's just a big tournament. I mean, it's a pretty expensive tournament.
Yeah.
And it is, people come from all over North Carolina, South Carolina, Texas, you know, all over Florida, Mississippi. I mean, they come from everywhere.
Yeah, because prize
money is big, you know.
Some of the numbers I heard, I was like, wow.
Yeah, I mean, well, for example.
Okay, yes. Y'all get ready for this.
Okay, first place, Benny Goldman out of Mobile, Dolphin Island. Him and his crew, his sons and his crew, Dave Van Lent and all of them, they won first place, had $117,000.
Yeah.
It's pretty sporty.
See what I'm talking about, y'all?
Yeah, first place. And then Mark Kennedy came in second place, And
I remember a very narrow margin.
Yeah, only by 2 ounces.
Okay,
he lost by 2 ounces.
2 ounces.
Yes.
Is this one fish or is it?
Well, the tournament was one fish.
Okay.
But then there were some Calcuttas. They had, you know, a bunch of Calcuttas where there was a one fish Calcutta, a aggregate of two fish Calcutta, and then they had a Wahoo Calcutta, a Ling Calcutta, Tuna Calcutta, Swordfish Calcutta. I mean, you know, a lot of different categories there. But the main tournament was a one fish wins it. And Mark had a 54 and came in second, 150. Something, $55,000.
Not bad, second place.
And I don't know what third place was. A boat named Young Guns. It was a 23-foot contender.
The 23-footer. I love it. Those are my kind of people,
all
man.
All these boats over there, Sean, they're all, you know.
Y'all are all 30 and up.
Three engine, four engine, 38, 40, 45-foot, I mean, monster big open fishing boats. And I'm looking around while I'm there. We'll go back to the Young Guns here in a second. But I'm looking around while I'm out in the water. We're getting ready to take off. And I'm saying, you know, I'm probably the only one out here that's got $200 reels on my boat. You know, $169 TLD Shimano's.
Right.
You know,
reels.
All these. Everybody else has got these $600, $800, $900
right.
reels, and then the $300, $400 rods.
You got all the metal reels, the gold reels.
Yeah, I said, man, I'm behind time. Like I'm gonna have to step up. But anyway, that 23-foot contender. So you don't have to have a monster boat
because you know
to win.
You knew this story would make me smile because
oh,
this is
yeah,
my kind of thing.
Absolutely,
yeah, this is pure Sean Sullivan kind of stuff. 23-footer,
absolutely. And they ended up coming in third place. And I don't know what they won, but I'm going to guess they won $20,000+ is what I'm going to guess.
Not bad for
a good payday. A
couple days of fishing.
Yes, very good payday. So anyway, it's a great tournament. There's probably about 50 boats fishing in it.
Okay.
And it's building every year. It's getting bigger and better, and then the payout's going to be better as time goes on.
So you're fishing for King, you're fishing for Wahoo?
Mainly King.
That's the tournament, but there's a side deal.
Then Wahoo is a bycatch.
Okay.
But this time of year, you know, there's quite a few Wahoo caught.
Yeah. Our buddy Jim Cox and his wife caught a big one.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw we caught one. The Benny Goldman and his crew on Relentless, I think they caught 5 Wahoo in the tournament.
Wow.
And I think, now I'm not sure, but I think Young Guns caught one too. I think they might have been first place in the Wahoo in the 23-foot contender. I think I'm right about that. I'm not positive. But anyway, there was quite a few Wahoo caught. We caught one that was 61 pounds. Everything I had, Sean, well, one thing is I came in 3 minutes late, so I didn't get to weigh my fish.
Oh.
Okay. I had a little motor issue, so anyway, I was 3 minutes coming in. I wouldn't have won anything. I had a 51-pound king.
Nice.
Normally, that would...
That's a great king.
You'd
that's
stand
a winner.
Up and bowed your chest out.
Damn,
and say,
you're darn
hey,
right.
Boys,
yeah.
Y'all
want to see
this.
What one looks like. Here
yeah.
it is. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I would have come in fourth place in the king
okay.
single. I would have come in fourth place in the aggregate. I would have come in fourth place in the Wahoo.
You had that fourth place. You had to... You owned it in fourth place.
But we would have won, which really kind of upsets me. We would have won junior angler. My grandson, Dylan,
yeah,
he would have won first place junior angler. And I hate that. You know,
yeah.
that's a real bad
that's a bummer.
Step for me. But anyway, all that to the side, you know, that's just fishing. You don't ever know what you're going to get.
Right.
But,
to walk us through, so you're out there. Your crew is obviously you and Dylan. And
yeah, me and Dylan, and had Mark Collier and his son Rick Collier, which Mark fished with me years ago and been great friends for a long time. And he is a great fisherman. He fishes a lot with Neil Foster on the Intents.
Okay.
And anyway, he fished with me this weekend, and we had a wonderful time. We didn't catch that many fish, you know, for 3 days. Now it was a Thursday, Friday, Saturday tournament.
Okay.
And we caught probably about a dozen king mackerel.
Now, what would you normally expect in that?
Well, normally I would expect we catching 100
yeah.
king mackerel.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's kind of what I would have expected over those days.
But there's some boats over there, Sean, that didn't catch but two or three fish the whole weekend.
Yeah, this goes back like 2 years ago. The king numbers were down, and then it got real good. And I guess, is it back down, or they're just somewhere else? Or
you know, Sean, that's what I asked Mark Candy earlier, because Mark keeps up with it better than anybody I know. Now, let me say this. Mark, the first day, Friday, he didn't catch a king mackerel.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, so you don't never know. But I asked Mark this. You know, back about 3 months ago, you could go to the lumps, to the salt domes out south of Dolphin Island, and the king mackerel were out there by the millions. I mean, they were just jumping. I mean, people were just afraid they were going to jump in the boats. They just skying and jumping everywhere. I mean, there was
so
just...
So what happened?
I don't know what happened to all the kings. You would think they'd spread out and mm-hmm. somebody's going to get on them and really kill them, you know? But I don't know of any. Now, Neil Foster on Intense, he said that he caught about 200 king mackerel.
Oh, wow. This weekend. Okay, so he found them.
But now he was almost to Texas fishing, okay?
So they went west.
Yeah, we went about 160 miles from Biloxi to fish, and yep. he went 120 miles past that.
Wow.
Yeah. So.
Y'all are doing this in open fishermen's.
Yeah.
Y'all are running some.
Well, they spent the night out. Mm-hmm. Benny Goldman won the tournament, and Neil, they spent the night out that Thursday night. Now, Thursday night, it was blowing 30 miles an hour.
Yeah, this is a rough. It was
good 6 foot plus, maybe 8 foot seas and swells out there. Now, I wouldn't want to spend the night out there in open fishermen.
Roll from one side, hit the center console, then you roll over and hit the side of the boat, and you hit the center, yes.
But to get back to the fish, I have no idea. The king were so thick out there. I mean, I'm telling you, they were by the millions out at the salt domes and all out there. And where they have gone, I have no idea. But usually we can go over to Louisiana and expect to catch at least 20 or 30 a day. Mm-hmm. I mean, 40. I mean, that's kind of like a minimum. If you go over and fish, you're going to catch 20, 30, or 40 a day. You just kind of weed through the 20 and 30-pounders and 40-pounders
trying to catch
50, 60-pounder or something, you know. But last year, it was the same way. We went over there and fished on the rodeo, and the first day of the rodeo was about 10 of us over there fishing out of Fouchon from Mobile. And the first day, one boat came in with two king mackerel that they caught. We didn't catch one. The next day, we all came in, and there was one boat that caught three, and that was us. And that was it.
Strange.
So it's strange.
Do you see it where—
Water beautiful.
Do you see it where it's a region— Let's talk about that area. Let's talk about Louisiana, because so many more rigs. All right. Do you see it like they're gone from this entire— Like if you rig hop, there's just none on any, or does it get to where they're not on these three rigs, but we pushed two more miles south to this other rig, and boom, there they were.
And it does happen that way. It does happen that way. Now, it didn't happen this weekend.
Right,
But in general speaking, that's exactly right. You can go to this rig, not catch nothing, go to the next rig, catch one, and really nothing going on, go to the next rig a mile over there, and they may be just burning it up, and you can't get a line out.
You wonder if they just followed a school of bait in there or something. When I've seen that before, I don't know why it's that.
You can walk on the bait. Walk on the bait. I'm telling you, there's so much bait over there. So many hardtails, greenback herring. Unbelievable at the amount of bait around the rigs. And what they've done, too, is kind of what they've done over here, is they have cut down, I'm talking about, a lot of rigs. Used to... If you close your eyes and ran your boat for about 20 minutes, you're going to hit a rig over there if you didn't open your eyes. Now, I mean, there's some place you go, it's about like Dolphin Island, where's the rigs at? I don't see any rigs.
Really? So it's been reduced over there a bunch, too?
But now
I haven't fished over there in
But they
two
have
years.
Cut the rigs off and put it under the water.
Gotcha. So the structure is still there?
A lot of the structure is there, or they've taken it from this place and put it over here in another pile of rigs that they've sunk. So, you know, it's still quite a bit of structure. It's just not sticking up out of in the air like it used to be, you know. But I can't tell you what's wrong with the king mackerel fishing. Somebody will find them like Neil. You know,
they're somewhere.
Neil found them, you know, and caught a couple hundred kings. We didn't find them. You know?
Yeah, that's one of the differences, too, when we've talked about it and talked about it with Scott Bannon and others about state management when we talk about snapper and other reef species.
Yes.
Those are homebodies. Those fish, what you do or don't do in an area, you manage it because it stays right there.
Right.
That is contrary to pelagic species because you've got them, then you don't have them. And you know what you do to them here, somebody else may do more, catch more down there. You know, it is – that's one of the places where I'll say there is an argument for gulf-wide management. When you start talking about kings or tuna or those, the argument there is fair. It's
absolutely
fair. It's I don't think it's fair when it comes to reef species, but yeah, pelagics, because those they could be down there off the Texas coast, and then another month or so they could all be back up here.
You got ling, you got dolphin, you got wahoo, you got king, you got tuna, and, you know, all those type species. I mean, they're here today and gone tomorrow. I mean, there's no telling. But snapper,
different story.
Speaking,
snapper and grouper and triggers and all that.
Right, they might go from this reef, you know, right over here, a quarter of a mile to another reef.
Right, but they're not running down to Texas and back.
That's right. No,
it's not happening.
Not that I know of, anyway.
Speaking of dolphin, I did. I stupided into a few chicken dolphin on Saturday. So,
did you?
Yeah. So I found a few
pretty little line out there.
Well, it hadn't formed up. There's some grass. It really hadn't formed up there, but the water was so pretty. There's a place off the island there that I probably wasn't 5 miles south of the island.
Really?
A piece of structure out there that had them around it. So.
Well, you know, I did hear somebody talk about that, about there was a little line or something. They saw flying fish out there.
I've seen flying fish close before, too.
Somebody did last weekend.
Water was pretty.
It wasn't
like purple blue. It was navy blue, and then the tide would change and get green blue, and then go some areas to navy blue. It wasn't bad. You could see down. You could see down 20 feet probably out there. But, okay, so y'all's water over there.
Water over there was just absolutely beautiful.
Really?
Yeah.
So the Mississippi River water wasn't messing you up?
No, Everything, a lot of things have changed, Sean, with King Mackerel Fishing, and I can't explain it. I wish somebody could explain it to me, and if Mark Kennedy don't know, I don't know who, and I've talked to him about it. Used to, you can remember this, South Pass, those rigs down there, they call them Block 60, Block 70 rigs down at South Pass. Used to on the rodeo, that'd be the only place we'd go. You know, everybody from Mobile would go over to Block 60, Block 70, because that's where the 50s and 60-pound kings were caught for the rodeo 90% of the time, you know? There's probably been 12, 15 years since we've even caught a king mackerel there, even caught one there.
Now,
West Delta is a big area. That's between Fouchon and South Pass, or Southwest Pass, let's say. Big area. Tons of rigs in there. Water just absolutely beautiful this past weekend over there. We stopped at one of our favorite rigs over there that usually we can catch a king mackerel over there. But we hadn't in the last 10 years hardly. But we did
but
stop.
But you keep going back. Yeah.
We keep, because there's bait everywhere. The water's beautiful. And we did catch one. We caught a king mackerel there. And it's the first king mackerel that I know of that we've caught in 10 years there. But I can't go past it without stopping and fishing because it's been so good in the past.
Oh, I got speckled trout spots. I do that with as well.
Yeah.
Got to stop and check.
Yeah.
Come back. I want to talk about the wahoo part of this as well.
Okay.
And talk about Mike's tournament. And then kind of what we're looking at here. The question is, with a weekend like this, are we going to get more days added on to the end of snapper season? You know, when you got a tropical storm, we'll talk about that as well. And some hunting news. You know, I'm always going to put hunting. Yeah, I'm going to put hunting in the mix.
Fishing season, man.
Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Sean Sullivan, Mike Ward. Talking last weekend's fishing in the Gulf, because that's pretty much all you can do if you're offshore fisherman this weekend. It's talk about what
talk
happened
about
last
good
weekend.
Good old times last week.
Back in the old days, like last week, it was a lot better. Although, you know, Sunday, it doesn't compare to what you dealt with, but Sunday got pretty, two to threes, probably threes. When I was out Sunday snapper fishing.
Well, they just had a lot of swales out there, too.
It did.
I mean, the first day that we went over there on Thursday over from Biloxi to Fouchon, I mean, there was just some big swales over there. It's like, where did the swales come from? It's like
that southeast wind we had.
Yeah, like a tropical depression way out there somewhere, you know.
Right.
But then it started blowing up, and we could see the storms coming. That's what it was. It was storms way out in the Gulf, and they ended up coming in on us. And, you know, we got it rained on us pretty hard, and the wind was blowing 30 knots.
Well, you had one of those videos up, and those swells were big enough that...
That was on Friday.
That was on Friday?
After the storm, but it was just those big swells. Would, you know, everybody on the boat was sick but me. Everybody was. I was fishing by myself. I had to catch the bait. I had to rig the lines. I had to put the downrigger in. I had to gaff the fish. I had everybody else. One man show. One man band, man. It was unbelievable.
But you did, you're talking about catching kings, but you also mentioned Wahoo. And you know you get my attention here.
Wahoo, you get my attention with Wahoo.
Because, I mean, I've not done a bunch of it in my life, not been successful at it.
Yeah.
You're catching Wahoo the same way you're catching the kings?
Yes.
They're just a kind of a byproduct of catching kings.
Now, you can more target Wahoo if you want to go after Wahoo more and what people do. Here's the thing, John. In February, March, April, and May, the Wahoo fishing is really super good, especially inshore. I say inshore in 80 foot to 200 foot of water.
Right.
In that range, inshore. I call that inshore. Offshore, right, you're looking at 600 foot and, you know, billfish and water and all that. So you think.
I call inshore Mobile Bay, but go ahead.
Yeah. inshore, offshore, right, you know. But everybody thinks, well, I catch my Wahoo out there while I'm bill fishing, and
that's kind of
5,000 foot of water.
Yeah,
and
I would have thought
do.
That. I would have thought
you do. Absolutely, you do. No problem. We caught plenty of them out there, but there's a big concentration of them in close in January, February, March, April, May. I mean, those are some really good months if you want to go target.
You talk about 80 feet of water. You're not talking about that far out. You're talking about 12 miles out. You can hit 80 feet of water, 12, 13 miles out.
Mm-hmm. There's Wahoo caught out there every year, off and on.
So but
it's kind of random. But now, if you wanted to go in March and April when it's really hot, I mean, the Wahoo fishing is really hot, you would take plugs. You know, like these big diving Norman plugs or
big lip ones or
Yozuri.
How about those Halcos?
Halco Yozuris or whatever. And you would throw them fast around oil rigs. Okay, you go to oil rigs.
Faster than kings.
Oh, yeah, you throw them fast, you know, like 10, 12 knots or so.
Okay.
Throw them fast around the oil rigs. Make a couple rounds around the oil rig. You don't do any good, pick them up, go to the next oil rig. And that's more targeting.
Wahoo versus a king. Okay.
Versus a king, yes. Now, like I said, it's probably this past weekend, I'm going to guess with 50 boats, there was probably 15, 20 king. I ain't know, Wahoo caught.
Okay.
Yeah, which is pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this is kind of getting to the end of the Wahoo
right,
season.
Right. This is the end of that window you painted for
That's
us because
right.
you're talking about late winter and spring, and we're now getting ready to be summer.
It is summer.
Yeah.
You know, basically, it is summer. So. The Wahoo fishing is just off the chart. We had another one on, but he bit through our line. We used a 90-pound leader, and I mean, you can almost tell it's a Wahoo because what a Wahoo will do, he'll hit your line and just scream it out. And you can't really because it's, I mean, he's just screaming a line out. And then all of a sudden, it's like, oh, he got off. No, he didn't get off. He's coming to the boat 110 miles an hour. He's coming back to you, and then you can't catch up. I mean, you just reel, reel, reel. Well, he got off. No, reel, 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 reel. And he keeps reeling. And all of a sudden, he starts zinging again the opposite direction. You know, so it isn't like he just goes one direction and keeps going that one direction. He goes out there so far, and he stops.
And he's coming back.
He's coming back towards you most of the time.
Right.
Just as fast as he went away from you.
So you're catching him this time of year because you're king fishing. So were you slow trolling live baits or what are they hitting?
Okay. Slow trolling live bait. Now we'll slow troll about whatever you can get. Hardtails is our main menu. But if we're out there and can catch a live Spanish, that's going to be one of the best. You know that you can use for king or wahoo or whatever, a bluefish, a speedo bonita, a greenback herring. You know, anything like that is just awesome. Now, if I could get speedo bonitas, I would
when
never
you say
fish
speedo,
with
When you say a speedo bonita.
A speedo bonita is it's like a bonita, but they're probably about a foot, maybe 14 inches long, and they're not quite as big around as a baseball.
Okay.
You know? Oh, man. Those things are just the best bait in the world.
Because, I mean, we catch, unfortunately, you know, bonita from time to time. Actually, it's not unfortunate. We use them, we use them a lot to snapper fish, too, piece of bonita. But
sure.
But if I've caught small ones, I've just always thought, well, that's just a smaller
I call them speedo bonitas.
Are they a different species?
I'm not 100% sure on that. Okay. I just have always called those. They look like a bonita, and maybe they're just small bonitas, but I've always just called them speedo bonitas.
You catch them mixed in with hardtails, or when do you catch them? Are you
jigs most of the time on top of the water when you're trying to catch hardtails on top of the water, usually when you're catching. But also, I mean, if I can catch a bonita about 3 pounds, 4 pounds, you know.
Well, I've watched what you've done with
them. Yeah, I'm not ashamed to put that out for a king mackerel or a wahoo either.
We caught, when I fished with you last year, when we amberjack fished, let alone I've seen the size of bonita way back that you used to catch the biggest amberjack I'd ever seen at that point in my life.
Yeah.
But you and I were amberjack fishing with Bobby and a bunch of folks last year, and we pulled up at the one rig we were fishing. Remember the bonita? We caught two back-to-back. Bobby, I caught one, and then Bobby caught one.
Whoa, yeah.
And those jokers were 4.5, 5 pounds.
Yeah, 5, 6 pounds probably, yeah.
It was the biggest bonita. Yeah. I mean, not bonita, hardtail.
Hardtail.
The biggest hardtail
I've ever caught. They were big, yeah. They were 4 pounds, 5 pounds. Yes.
I mean, it was the biggest hardtail I'd ever seen. Yes. And we put those babies, we put one down so big that we didn't get hit on that one. The other ones got smashed. We caught big fish. But there's one that when I caught, oh, you and I, our eyes were big. Let's put that down and see what happens.
Oh, yeah. Look, I put down 10-12 pound bonita before and catch amberjack on them. So yeah, it's not, I'm not afraid to put a big bait down for amberjack. I don't know why we didn't catch a big one on that bluefish.
Right.
There just wasn't a big one feeding at that time, or there wasn't a big one around there, because they will hit it in a heartbeat. No problem on a big bonita.
What about amberjack? Because you were trolling, I mean, obviously during your trip, you were trolling around some rigs trying to catch king.
Yeah,
and in the past, you've told us it's gotten so bad with amberjack that makes that they're coming out and hitting those.
Oh yeah, we caught them. Yeah, absolutely. You get too close to the rig, or if you're fishing a sunk rig over there and you get on top of it, yes, we caught probably 10 or more amberjack trolling.
Wow.
You know, trying to we just get too close to the rigs. And sometimes you don't have to get that close to them. Sometimes they'll hit, you know, 200 yards or more out away from the rig. They just get in schools, and you have a big blow up behind your boat on your bait, and you think, man, that's a big king or something.
Wrong.
You know, wrong. It's an amberjack. And I'll tell you a quick story, too, on that the king that we caught, the 51 pound. Man, the reason that I love king mackerel fishing is just because of that 51 pounder. I mean, we got a bait out, you know, maybe 40 yards behind the boat, and all of a sudden, here comes this king. He hits this bait, skies,
you know,
10 foot out of water, and then he hits back down in the water, and he doesn't have the bait, you know.
Oh, no.
But then you feed it out.
Right.
You know, you keep feeding it, and, boy, he comes back and just hits it and screams. But that when that king jumps out of water, and you have quite a few kings sky on your bait, man, that is just a thrill, unbelievable. When we saw him, I mean, I really thought he's about 40, 45 pounds when I saw him. But Mark Collier and Rick, his son, they both said, no, that's way bigger than that. That's a high 40 or 50 pounder. I said, well, I hope you're right. And they were right. I was wrong. But, man, that is so much fun
when they sky on
that bait. I've had wahoo do that, too. I've had wahoo sky on it.
So
now, that's a real treat, too.
And they're skying on it, even though – have you had them do it when you're pulling at wahoo speeds? You know what I'm saying? At the faster speeds?
No.
Or more with the live bait, slower?
Because I'm more fishing live bait.
Okay.
At a slower, but they'll sky on it.
You know, the skying thing, it's just in my memory banks, if there's times they'll sky, and the second they hit the water, the drag's already pulling. But I remember distinctly in my head times when the king skied on a bait. And it comes up, and everybody turns. That kind of, I love a camera of our faces where your mouths are hanging over, mouth hanging open, looking at that king in the air. And they hit the water, and it's like a one Mississippi to almost two Mississippi.
Yeah.
And then,
but
it takes a second. You're like, we didn't get him. Yeah, we did.
Well, a lot of times they'll miss it. I mean, they'll have the bait in their mouth when they're up in the air. You know, they got the hardtail in their mouth.
So maybe they turn around once they hit and come right back.
I don't know. As soon as they hit the water, sometimes it'll just come out of their mouth or whatever. But you feed it back to them, and they come right back, and then they nail it. It is fun, man.
All right. So we've got – so pretty much that inshore offshore stuff for Wahoo's coming to an end now. But next year, somebody's planning that's something to look forward to late winter and into spring.
If you want to go catch Wahoo, I would recommend that you go to Venice Marina, because all those charter boats over there, that's what they target January, February, March, April, and May. Not only the tuna. They target the tuna big time over there, but they target the wahoo big time, too. Now, they'll go out and catch, one boat might catch 10, 12, 15 in a day. Wahoo.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, you've seen some of the pictures from the this past spring from all those charter boats over in Venice. They wear them out in the springtime over there.
All right. Coming right back, more of FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Remember, online, facebook.com/FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Make sure to put the outdoors portion in there. Yeah. Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Sean Sullivan, Mike Ward, wrapping it up on this blustery weekend here. But you know what? Maybe it'll be good news by next weekend. And the question will be, and we'll try to ask that, of Director of Alabama Marine Resources, Scott Bannon, if we'll get those. Like, this is why state management is good. When you have, you know, in the old days when it was just federal, right? Federal said, well, those days passed. Yeah. You went fishing. Now the state can go, you know, it was a tropical storm.
Yeah, that one day passed, I'm sorry. Or that 2 day passed, I'm sorry. That's it. You're over with.
Right. And because they would just assume that people fish no matter what.
That's right. It's kind of like them sampling snapper on sand bottom out there. It's the same concept.
Very much so. So with the state running it, state is doing this, and we, of course, use your snapper app and report your fish. They're going to see that people didn't go, you know, because so I think by tomorrow it's supposed to be 13 foot.
There's always that one, though, Sean.
Yeah, there is that person. There is that person. It's not me anymore, for sure. So the idea is, okay, there wasn't as much activity and participation in this. Will we get will these couple days here be added on the end of the season? But we'll ask that next week's show or the week after when he gets the data in. We'll find maybe we'll get those days later on in the month of July. All right.
This is a great weekend for somebody to work on their reels.
I'm doing all the stuff I hadn't done in my house.
Yeah, that too. But, fix your guides on your rods. Change the oil in your motors.
Yes.
You change the lower unit oil.
Oh, there you go.
You know, change your gas filters. All the things that you're going to break down on, if you don't go ahead and do it this weekend. Yes.
Yeah, get out there. Get the – yes, absolutely.
Yep.
And you'll have a full day, too, to get to the place. If you got to go get a fuel water separator or you got to get this filter, you got the whole day now go get that stuff.
Don't have anything else to do.
Which is often the problem when you're trying to do the other stuff. You're like, they close at 7 or whatever. Now you have the whole day to do that. So go do that. And I was just going to say, too, that got the results in for some of the draws. The draw out west hunting draws. Arizona came in, Utah came in, New Mexico came in. It didn't come in good for me. No, I didn't get drawn. But Colorado came in this last week, and looks like, barring any unforeseen circumstances, back out to the general area that I hunted 2 years ago, high country.
Super.
Third season, starting November 7th, some mule deer hunting and some elk out there. So we'll talk about that more as I now have about 30 pounds to lose and a lot of conditioning to do to get ready to go back out there. But that
you may not get to go then, Sean.
Yeah, that's right. You go in my stead, right? I didn't think so. All right. For Mike Ward, Sean Sullivan, and the whole crew here at FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors, thank y'all. Prep Sports Report on the way next. Talk to you next week.